Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia, and with me, as always, is the Jennifer Wollman. Jennifer, say hello. I did that on purpose.
I know you did. To see how long I can hold my breath.
Yes, exactly.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Small Business Month.
That's right.
March is Small Business Month, and as you know, if you've been listening to us for any amount of time, that we're big, big advocates of small businesses. So this month, we're going to dedicate all of our episodes to small businesses and the people who start them, grow them, run them, work in them, fund them, invest in them, lease to them, buy from them, et cetera, basically everything and anything small business. You know, Florida is considered a business-friendly state, and small businesses is definitely, they're definitely the backbone of our economy. Well, actually, most of the U.S. economy in general. And U.S. News and World Report named Florida the number one state in the U.S. for economy, citing factors like its strong business environment, GDP growth. And then the Bureau of Economic Analysis ranks us fourth in terms of total GDP. So we thought that it would be worthwhile to, in this episode, take a look at how to get started building a small business, funding a small business, etc. So we're going to focus on the resources that are available if you are thinking of starting, or your clients are thinking of starting a small business. As a retail tenant rep, a lot of times we get calls from small businesses saying, hey, I'm opening up a gym, I'm looking for a space for a gym. And then when we start asking our qualifying questions, we realize that they basically have this dream of owning a gym, but they have no idea how they're going to fund it or what they need in order to operate. So then we help guide them in the right direction and let them know what kind of licensing they need. It's not just about the real estate, right? We also want them to be successful and make money. And so we're hoping to provide resources to everybody to help guide them.
And really interestingly enough, sometimes I think the best way for me to explain is just to give you an example. Because sometimes we ask questions about why. Right. Which is not something that people are used to. You know, they sometimes will call you and say, I want to open this business. And then you ask them why, and they're befuddled by the question. So I'll give you an example. We got a call from a prospective client out of New Jersey that was moving to South Florida and wanted to open a restaurant. And I asked them, well, do they have a restaurant experience? And he says, no, he's owned a tire store in New Jersey for years, and he's done extremely well. So you start going, well, why are you coming down? Why do you want to go from selling tires to the restaurant business? It says, well, we've always really enjoyed the restaurant business. I think that there is potential in it. And I'm asking questions like, so does your wife have do you and your wife have like a special recipe that you want to bring to the world? Where is the passion coming from? Find out they're not chefs, they're not cooks, they just wanted a restaurant business. And so after having conversations to discourage that, says, you know, it's one of the most difficult businesses to get into. You know, the hours are incredibly long. You know, it's arduous, hard work. There's a high rate of failure, but we did find that their best path was a franchise within the food and beverage industry. And now they're working with our really franchise specialist to identify the franchises they want to be in and all of those stuff. So I think that the Q&A and the pre-qualification that we do is really to try to find, okay, what is the best path of success that this person can find as they're building the business. And it probably requires more thought than people are giving it when they're thinking about opening a small business.
Right. And in your example, you know, F&B, not only is it hard because of the hours, it can also be very expensive in terms of startup costs to build out a space, et cetera. And again, landlords are going to want to make sure that they're profitable and that they can afford to pay for the rent and the F&B, I mean, the build out and, you know, do all the tenant improvements, et cetera. So these resources can help. And so the Florida Department of State, and we're going to provide links to all of these in the show notes, but the Florida Department of State has a small business guide that literally takes a business step by step by what you need from the state. And then a lot of counties also have their own small business offices and economic development corporations or CRAs that help give out grants for the financing to help you start. And we did do an interview with George Camejo with, he was the executive director of the City of Hollywood. So if you want to know how a CRA works and what kind of incentives and help they can give to small businesses, you should tune into that one. But what we wanted to look at today, just because of the retail and restaurant industry and how tight the retail space is here in Florida, especially in Southeast Florida, are the resources that are available to you through ICSE, which is the International Council of Shopping Centers. And they're not only great for shopping center owners to find tenants and figure out best practices and who's expanding, but they're also a super resource for businesses that occupy them. In addition to having their big conference, which is in Vegas in May of each year, they also have a lot of state and local networking opportunities where you can go and meet landlords who want you in their space, right? You can go there and network with banks or with cities. The one in Florida in August has a ton of cities that are looking to expand their business base. And a lot of their CRA directors are at these events as well. Going into ICSC and some of what they offer.
One of the things that I find is, first, a lot of research, right? Because, you know, we just recently did, you know, an interview and there was a conversation really about how do you structure and how do you build a business? And one of the items that was discussed was finding a gap in the marketplace, right? Making sure that you're not going into a marketplace that is overly saturated. So getting a real understanding of the metrics, right? What the data gives you and what that insight is, you'd be surprised how important choosing the right location is to the success or failure of your business. And part of that is you got to be really aware what marketplace you're going into. So they have this area that really is about industry insights, but they talk about, you know, marketplace perspectives. And it gives you basically a little bit more in depth as to the different sectors. So I thought that was an important component of the resource that ICSC can provide.
Right. And they do have a blog that's specific to small businesses. So they do a lot of, they let you know when their deadlines for grants and what grants are available. But it's also the way that they break down their guide. So they have, you know, it's taking the first step, creating your small business, working on the planning, what it means to sign a lease, how do you sign a lease, what things should you look out for in signing a lease. Then they assume that you've already created your business and you've been operating for a while. And then they have a section on how to maintain your small business and what you need to do to deal with tax and legal issues. And then they have a section on growing your small business. And a lot of what we saw when we were at Florida's midwinter meetings with creating the Story brand with Donald Miller was being able to express your business values clearly and be able to to show that value through communication and through storytelling. And that's a big part, not only of starting your business, but of growing your business. And then they have another section on funding your business, on dealing with small business landlords, or if you are a small business landlord, what kind of things should you look for? The reality is, being a small business, especially if you're just starting out, it's a little bit harder to work with landlords, right? Some landlords want to know that you have three or four shops and some experience under your belt. So your story to that landlord has to be extremely compelling. And we did an interview with Sarah Hernandez, and she was talking about the importance to the landlord, even to the bank. So as a tenant and a small business owner, your story is very important to that landlord, not just for them being able to accept you as a tenant, but also for their potential issues with their banker and their lender.
Yeah, and that's where, going back to my story, you know, what it's interesting about going the franchise route is that the franchisor, right, that is, the franchisor is also going to co-sign that lease, right? Because they want to have control in the event that something were to happen, they were going to sell the business or whatever, that they're able to take over. So to a landlord, having a franchise provides that layer of security that they're in search of. Right. And so that's really an important, you know, component here, especially if you're going into an area that you don't have a lot of expertise in, which is where that infrastructure system is there to provide that support.
Yeah. And then my favorite, it's kind of the last step, but I would recommend it as an overview, is ICSC has something called the Commercial Space Readiness Guidebook. And it's basically a small business toolkit. It gives you an overview of all the resources so that you can understand all of the real estate concepts behind having a brick and mortar shop. So not so much if you're setting up an office. Again, this applies more to retail, which if you're setting up a business that's retail based, you tend to have longer, more complicated leases than if you're setting up a small office where maybe you can find a Regus or WeWork type space that you can do on a monthly basis or a weekly basis, starting up something in either that requires industrial space or retail space is going to require a bigger capital outlay, a longer time commitment, etc.
I find it really interesting that, because there are a lot of great resources out there, and I love the way that ICSC has packaged them so you have the information. And again, we're going to share those links. But what's really interesting is that most of the time, people don't just begin a business in a vacuum. Right. We live in a world that is so interconnected outside of the brick and mortar stores as well. And that, for example, if you have a food concept that you wanted to grow, the advent of the food trucks has been a big part of allowing people to build a small business within a truck. It's a much more attainable price tag, right? And to be able to create their concept and to develop a proof of concept. We've seen many of those that have grown from a food truck to now have multiple brick and mortar stores. We've seen it in our local market, and we've seen it all throughout the United States. And there are people that start online stores, you know, whether it's through Etsy or eBay or Amazon.
Just Instagram, straight out
Instagram, right? And they begin to build that, you know, word of mouth marketing that begins. And then now they get to a stage where they're like, you know, I think there is enough demand that I've outgrown this operation, and now I have to grow into another space. And I say all that to say that sometimes you can get into a mind space where you are getting into a paralysis by analysis, you know, where you're overanalyzing things. Now you have all these resources. Where do I start? Do I start with the financing? Do I start with, now I have to go look for a space? I've never done this. But I think that there is something at the center of every business, which is the entrepreneurial mindset of the person that is trying to start the business. And now you have a lot of ways in which to do it in a much more cost-effective way than going straight to that brick and mortar, for example, right? And so I say that just to say, don't feel paralyzed by the enormous amount of resources and information that is available to you if you have a great idea and you have a passion for that idea, find the way to get it out into the world. And, you know, you'd be surprised how well it resonates.
Yeah, I would say there's no better time in history, I think. I can say that than right now to start a business, because there's right. so many different ways that you could experiment with it. And to Fernando's point, we had two people recently. One was looking for office space and one was looking for retail space. And they were both individuals who started online companies for clothing and women's accessories. And one of them was looking at office space just because she had started it 3 years ago in her, you know, one bedroom condo. And her husband is sick of seeing all the clothes racks and she needs a place to pack and ship and store her inventory and to do her Instagram shots and her video recordings and everything. So she was looking at office space specifically for that. But she already had proof of concept. She already had verifiable income. She already had a lot of what the landlord would have asked for. And again, she was going into office space. And then another woman had an online company that also sold clothing, and she wanted to take it into bricks and mortar, where it also became more of a community space where people could get together. You could have a bridal shower there. Mm-hmm. You can have a trunk show there. And
interesting.
It was clothing and accessories that constantly revolved, right? So, you know, she might have four of one set of clothing, and once those four were gone, they were gone.
Right.
And so sometimes they were gone before she even got them into the store, based because she was doing this omni-channel marketing between Instagram, her website, and the bricks and mortar store. So if you're starting a business, know that you don't automatically have to go the expensive route, the brick and mortar. But
for sure. And, you know, you learn so much along the way. You know, one of the things why we celebrate small businesses, the stats and the data proves it. You know, they're the heartbeat of our economy. No matter how big companies, you know, get a lot of the attention, it is really the small businesses that is so much of a part of the engine of our economy, both at a national level and a local level, right? And so that's why we always encourage you to support small businesses. And one of the things that's really interesting is that as you begin to, you open and you grow a small business. And by the way, all businesses are small businesses. You know, we're nobody says, well, I want to build a small business. They just want to build a business,
right?
You know, there's just a technicality to call it a small business just because of its size. But I would say that you learn so much because you have to interact with so many different aspects of the economy. You have to learn about taxes. You have to learn about, you know, regulations. You have to learn about, you know, negotiations when it comes to your leasing space. You have to learn about rules that evolve, insurance that goes beyond just insuring the property, but, you know, now you've got to deal with liability insurance there. You get to see how laws and statutes at a local level affect your business, right? And so you got to pay attention to all these things. There's so much of a component. You never stop learning and you never stop evolving as long as you have that attitude of, hey, I want to gravitate to these resources. I want to learn. I want to be able to do every little aspect of my business better. And so kudos to everyone who is courageous enough to start, develop, and grow a small business. And I would say that, you know, one of the joys of the small business, of building a business, is getting to employ people. We know a lot and we work with a lot of owners, and that is a big part of what they are proud of. And I remember even during the pandemic how people were very proud that they kept their employees and that they kept them employed and they kept paying them even when their stores were closed, even when things were shut down, that they found a way to continue to take care of their people. And that's an incredible thing, right? To be able to help other people with families, you know, take care of themselves. Here's to more business creation in America.
And building the American dream.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody, it's a short and sweet episode.
Yes.
That was just an overview for the rest of the month. We are going to have interviews with small business owners, operators, and how they scaled, how they started their business and how they scaled them, and important concepts that they find helped them grow and succeed. And they're still in business after 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So.
Well, guys, thank you again for joining us on another episode of Between Two Chairs. Again, my name is Fernando Arcivia, and with me, as always, is the ever resourceful. You didn't know I was going to do that. No. The ever resourceful Jennifer Woman. Jennifer, say bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.